Please stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God. As I continue to preach in your hearing, with the help of God, with the help of His Holy Ghost, with the help of Jesus, in this sin-cursed world, in these perilous times, being thankful for the benefits, pleasures, and blessings of God, yes, even in this world, part two, praying through the Bible, believe it or not, this is message number 381, every Wednesday night, going back years. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Now the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly, very clearly, distinctly, very powerfully, that in the latter times, and we're living in the latter times, in case you don't know it, when two black people get out of a van in New Jersey, and shoot up a Jewish kosher store, you know that we're living in the latter days, the latter times. When a young man who has the privilege of being in our country to learn how to operate some of the most expensive equipment in the world gets up one morning and shoots U.S. soldiers as young as 19 years old, that they all probably talked together and laughed together. When you have a situation where a white man kills his grandmother, strangles his grandmother, and strangles his great-grandmother, I think you're living in the latter times. Some shall depart from the faith, and that's what's happening. People who have been long Christians, they claim, are now departing from the faith. How? Giving heed, listening to seducing spirits. How do they do that? They do it by listening to the devil online, going to the corners of the internet that Christians ought not to go, being seduced by devils and doctrines of devils, all of them, of course, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, some forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. They're not forbidding having sex and fornication and committing adultery, just don't get married, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. Just so happened we just wrapped up another great Thanksgiving holiday. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Holy Father God, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for the victory that you've already given to us, and the many victories you've given to us down through the years. It is mind-boggling that we have been here in this series alone nearly 400 Wednesday nights, through many toils and snares you have brought us. And we thank you for giving us the victory each and every service, each and every night, on a severe satanic attack on a daily basis. And Lord, I give you the glory, praise, and honor for leading me to preach your holy word, to encourage people to pray, to remind people that you're still there and that you hear and answer prayer. No matter how we feel, no matter what we think, no matter how faint our prayer might be, you are still the one and only loving, merciful, compassionate God who will hear and answer the prayers of sinners in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your holy word that tells us, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. When Sarah laughed, you asked Abraham and Sarah, is anything too hard for the Lord? A rhetorical question with an obvious answer. No, nothing is too hard for you. Even Abraham and Sarah knew at that time that they were old and stricken in years. Sarah even asked, me? Will I have pleasure with a man like that, as old as I am and as old as he is? And then you ask them, is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer is no, Lord, nothing is too hard for you. So no matter how some of us may laugh at your promises, and think that you can't do it or will not do it, help us to believe in you, to believe in your holy word, and to understand nothing is too hard for you. No matter how weak we may feel, help us to pray anyhow. Help us to walk by faith and to pray by faith for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved. Lord, help us to pray for them. Lord, save those who are lost tonight. Revive those who are saved. Help us to pray as Christians. Help us to seek your face. Help us to turn from our wicked ways and help us to humble ourselves. Lord, some are right now praying with me. They feel like their prayers are dry. They feel like their prayers are not even going to go past the ceiling. Help them to open their mouths in faith and to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help them to realize that the power is not in them and how they feel and what they think. It is in you by faith. And that you have delivered and you are still delivering and you can deliver and will deliver if we have faith in you. Demonstrate the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Ghost. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to mix it all with faith in you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Being thankful for the benefits, pleasures, and blessings of God. Part 2. No matter what. No matter what you're going through, you can always give thanks to God, not only for one thing, but many things. Think about it. If nothing else, you can thank God for, as I've done today, Lord, thank you for allowing things to be as well as they are. Can you do that? Thank God for the deliverances of the past. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering all of my prayers in the past. Thank you, Lord, for providing for us food to eat, place to stay, every day, every month, every year. Count your blessings before you be seduced by the doctrines of devils. Because that's one of the things that the devil and the demons of hell, they're constantly seducing you, asking you questions like the devil asked Eve in the garden. Do you really believe God is hearing your prayers? You know you're not worthy to pray, don't you? Look at what you did. You know God does not want to have anything to do with you. Isn't that right? Being seduced by demons, evil spirits, and doctrines and teachings of devils. Dr. Robert Jameson said, thanksgiving gives effect to prayer and frees us from anxious care by making all God's dealings matter for praise. That we ought to praise God for everything. As some saints used to pray back in the late 70s and early 80s, praise God anyhow. Whatever. Have you lived long enough to learn that you're not in control? Have you? This is our Father's world. I have a little thing that I share sometimes with folks. Prayer has a way of reminding you that you're not God. Oh, yes. You're not God. And by the way, once you realize that you're not God, you'll start leaving some folks alone and let God deal with them. Seriously. Some of you are too stressed out about other people. Some of you are too stressed out about your spouse or your children or your grandchildren. And when you need to understand that you're not God, and particularly your adult children, you've got to let them go. It's hard for those of you who did not raise your children right. You were still trying to get your groove on while you were raising your children. You were concerned about yourself and not your children. And you didn't realize they were going to grow up that fast, that they would always be around, and now they're gone. Now you want to reach back out there and take them back in. It's too late. It's too late. There's some things, contrary to what the prosperity gospel people tell you, there's some things that are not fixable. Okay? That only God can fix it if it will ever be fixed. And so you need to look to Him. In the words of the voice, I forget her name now, but she's dead and gone. But one of her famous songs, I Look to You, that's who you need to be looking to. And you need to, while you're looking to God, you need to be giving yourself to prayer. Whitney Houston is who I'm thinking about. I don't care who wrote the song. Don't tell me about that. I like it. I look to you. That's what you better be doing. You better look to God. Because there are things now that you can't control, my dear friend. Especially you control freaks. You all are in a bad way. But those parents, you did your best. You left it on the field. Dropped the mic parenting. You did it. You flat did the doggone thing. You can rest in God and in prayer. Because it's up to God and them now. And just like God dealt with you. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Just remember how God dealt with you and your with your bad self. God knows how to deal. You just pray. You wrap them up in prayer. Like a hot tamale, you wrap them up in prayer. You'll be getting hot up in there. You don't have to worry about a thing. Luke, I wish I could sing. I know I can't sing like Whitney Houston. I'll break out into a praise singing right now if I could sing. If I knew. See, people who can't sing, they can't even remember the words, much less the tune. You know why? Because God does not want us to mess it up. That's why we can't remember the words. We can't remember the words. We don't know the tune. We don't know a B flat from an F flat. Are you kidding me? We don't know anything about that. I saw Brother Winans, he was singing a song one night. And he was singing it, the music was playing. He said, try that in a B flat or C flat. I said, that's beyond me. I don't even know what he's talking about. People who can't sing, they cannot remember the words, they can't remember the tune. And may God help us if they do try to strike it up. It's just bad. It's bad. People who can't sing need to be quiet. We had a church member one time, bless his heart. There was a song that, you see, you can tell when people really got saved because you can go into the hymn book and they get happy over the hymn book. No music. And if we have music, it's even better. I can't remember the song, but I tell you what, he would grab that hymn book and just butcher the song to death. And everybody around him could hear him. He sung the loudest because he loved that song. It blessed his heart so much. But anyway, Thanksgiving gives effect to prayer and frees us from anxious care by making all God's dealings matter for praise, not merely for resignation, much less murmuring, my God, help us. We have too many murmurers today, don't we? We have too many complainers and too many whiners, too many pity partiers, always inviting people to their pity party. It's frankly disgusting. May I be candid? May I be candid, Daniqua? That's a word that she is teaching us, reminding us of in our little training we do to keep our minds fresh. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Oh, yes, we have family devotions every day, but we also have a little time where we go over vocabulary words just to not to sound important, but to keep your mind working. We go over Spanish words, learning a language at a slow pace. And those of you who are getting older, you need to do stuff like that to keep your mind working. It's okay. And one of my daughters, Daniqua, helps us to do that. And the word today was candid. It just came to my mind. And that's one of the reasons why we do it, because if you don't have it up here and you don't fully understand it up here, you can't use it out here. But be that as it may, peace is the companion, he said, of thanksgiving. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. My oldest daughter, she wrote more books than I did on Thanksgiving. Danny White. She had a thankful heart from the time she was born until I raised on up out of here. And to this day, she's thankful. She's grateful. and she has peace, and I have peace because I taught her how to be thankful. And we didn't have much. We were not a part of the prosperity gospel philosophy at all. Not at all. We ate beans and rice most days. Wednesday night was always spaghetti, pasta night. Sunday we would have something special. That's about it. We try to do something a little bit on Saturday, change it up a little bit. But that child was thankful because her father was thankful. We prayed hard, and we thanked God hard, and we played hard, and we worked hard for the Lord. And Dr. John MacArthur said, I was interested to read in USA Today newspaper, in their opinion section, an interview with the man who heads up the organization called Fundamentalists Anonymous. It's like Gamblers Anonymous or Alcoholic Anonymous. It's for people who are trying to kick fundamentalism to the curb. I added the curb. People who are trying to break loose from the anxiety and the pressure and the depression and whatever circumstances they feel have hamstrung their life because of an orientation with fundamentalism. And this is in the Christian community. I know a lot about it. The man who heads it up says he is a Christian and now is a member of an American Baptist church, and that is not a fundamentalist church. Independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptists. And he is not at all claiming to have departed from the faith. Dr. MacArthur said, I had two thoughts about Fundamentalists Anonymous. One was, by the way, 22,000 people have some way or another made contact with that organization wanting to defect from fundamentalism as we know it or get some help somehow. And what I thought to myself is how subtle Satan is. Pardon me. He said, I thought to myself how subtle Satan is, that there are some people who are wanting out of what is called fundamentalism when they really have not ever understood the fundamental truth of the Word of God. What they have been engulfed in was nothing more or less than a legalism that was stifling, debilitating, unfulfilling, and never drew true spirituality out of their heart at all. And they're defecting from something that isn't fundamental Christianity at all, but simply a legalistic substitute with his own code of works by which you attain a right relationship with God. And this is what this passage is referring to. Does not mean, however, that you can just live any old kind of way you want to. See, and we really don't have to worry about this if people are truly born again. Because people who are truly born again, they know they ought to do the right thing because of the Holy Ghost living on the inside of them. And the Holy Spirit of God will convict you if you go contrary to his holy word, which he wrote. He will convict you of your sin, no matter who you think you are. No matter who you think you are. We all, see, this is why I don't worry about people who are truly born again. Not at all. Because if you're truly born again, you're going to get it right. Because God is going to help you. And if you are a rebellious person, God will help. He will deal with you about that. The Holy Ghost of God will convict you about your sin and your evil. It's not about legalism. It's about the Holy Spirit motivating you from the inside. You see, folks, I'm motivated by love for Christ, but I'm also motivated by fear of God, which is love too. See, I just love God so much. I would never do those things. I would never even think about doing those things. Yeah. Well, some of us are not as good as you are. And we love Jesus. And we're motivated by love. We love him so much that we fear him as well. You ever heard of the term, the terror of the Lord? I'm motivated by both. And the truth of the matter is, because maybe I'm more wicked than you are, I'm motivated probably a little bit more by fear of God than love. But they're right up there together. Don't judge me yet. It's going to be all right. I know I'm not where you are. God bless your heart. But God also knows your heart too. And he knows where you've been and what you've been doing. Okay? So, when we talk about holiness and living holy, we're not always talking about legalism. And so, make sure you understand that. In our last message, we began looking at how the false teachers were leading many into a false faith with their legalistic commands. Let's continue looking at some background information surrounding this passage stated in the Bible Knowledge Commentary, edited by Dr. John Walvoort and Dr. Zuck of Dallas Theological Seminary. Those who believe and who know the truth can gratefully receive and use the things God created, which were designed to be received. Contrary to the teaching of the aorists, as they called them, everything God created is good. Here Paul echoed God's own verdict. Whereas the false teachers were intent on forbidding, and abstaining, seriously, from married love, couldn't kill the fatted calf. They were killing the fatted calf back in Abraham's day. Read your Bible. They may not have eaten it every day, but for special occasions. Denying people, telling people not to eat meat. This is big time today, big time. Just heard about a man who was a vegan. Might have been a woman, somebody. They had committed to not only vegetarianism, but to be a vegan person. Nothing. Just vegetables and fruits. No animal products whatsoever. No cheese, no eggs, nothing. And then he, for some reason, decided to eat meat for 30 days. Came out of that and said, I feel better. I know a woman who worked at a health food store. And my favorite health food stores are Seven Day Venice health food stores. It's amazing. God knows I love it, I guess, because everywhere he planted me, there was a major Seven Day Venice health food store. I just love it. But I never, you know, the people that I became friends with, they wanted me to, you know, go without eating meat and so. But I didn't. I was not led to do that. I was not led to go full vegan or vegetarian. I have laid off meat, but I never was led to do that because they always look strange. I love them. But many of the men always had bald heads that were not bald headed because they wanted to be. They were bald headed because they had to be. They were not getting something in their diet. I had one friend. He was so ashamed of being bald, he wore a hat at the store. And then there was a young lady. She was very thin. And so she was a vegan working at the health food store. When I would go to the health food store, telling me all about the wonderful things and the shakes and so forth. And she said, I've been vegan for a long time. And I have not been eating meat. I said, well, you know, I don't mean any harm, but it looks like you need to eat something. And so after about a year or two back and forth, I saw her. I was going into HEB, and I saw her coming out of HEB. And every time we see each other, we'll speak. And I said, what's going on? And she had a bag of meat. She said, well, I said, what you got there? I said, I have some veal. I said, what? I thought you were vegan. She said, yeah, but my doctor said, I need to start eating some meat. I said, oh, really? Because she had been a vegan for years and trying to get me to become. Oh, and you got all that stuff in the meat and so forth. It's just not good for you. And here I am, healthy and robust, and she's dying. The doctor told you, honey, you need to eat some meat. And she got serious about that thing and started eating meat. I said, wow. I said, man, I thought you would be the healthiest person alive. She said, no, then my doctor said, I need to start eating meat again. So you have to be led by the Lord, people. You can't just go hog wild with what people say. And I love a great veggie burger every now and then myself. They got some good stuff out there, but it's not for everyday people. You might as well just eat a hamburger with what you don't know what's in the veggie burger. I ate a Whopper veggie burger one day, and it tasted great, but I didn't feel that great afterwards. Paul said that nothing is to be rejected, nothing. That is, that God created. Paul said that nothing is to be rejected. Man can abuse what God has created, and oftentimes he does. As adultery is an abuse of the marital sexual relationship, with wicked hearts, people want more and more. They're not satisfied with the wife that they loved so much at one point, or the husband they loved so much at one point. They want somebody else now. They still want to stay married because they know all the benefits to being married, but you're hungry for more, greedy for more. Same thing with money. Money's not bad, but people can abuse money and become greedy. When the man said in the movie, greed is good, he told a lie. Greed is not good. Being content is good. And gluttony is an abuse of normal appetites for food. Such abuses should certainly be rejected. But God's creations themselves are all good and should be received with thanksgiving, not with taboos. Eating chicken is not bad. Eating too much chicken is bad. Drinking wine is not evil. Drinking too much wine is evil. Having sex with your spouse is not evil or wrong. But having sex with another person's spouse or somebody you're not married to is evil and wrong, and can land you in hell, all of it. Or having sex with the same sex is wrong. Having sex with your married spouse is not wrong. A man and a woman, that's not wrong. But having sex with somebody who's the same sex is wrong, is evil. And having sex with your married spouse, male and female, is wonderful. It's a beautiful thing. In fact, when you watch a good movie, it's going to involve a man and a woman somehow getting together, almost getting together or something. That's what sells the movie. Because it is the most beautiful thing on earth when a man and a woman get together, or they're coming together, or they're getting close. And all movies are based on, I don't care if the movie is about some manufactured giants and Godzilla, there's always going to be a man and a woman trying to hook up in the midst of it all. Oh, I think about the movie I got glimpses of some time back with The Rock. Had a beautiful girlfriend, a friend he was trying to get with. All hell was breaking loose. Buildings were falling down. They looking at each other all googly-eyed and kissing each other. I love you. And I said, what? What? The baby? Find a cave to run into. Oh, but they got to have that in there, because they know people are not going to stay if there's no love going on with the man and the woman. And quite frankly, most of America, whether you like it or not, we don't want to see nothing about no man and no man. We just don't want to. We just don't. And I don't care if you like it or not. I know it's not politically correct. We don't want to see that. No. It's disgusting. It's an abomination. Having sex with a man, having sex with his wife, is a beautiful thing. All day long. It's a beautiful thing. A wife having sex with her husband is a beautiful thing. Nobody looks down on that unless they are legalistic. And they feel like somehow they're unholy. And there are some people like that. Oh, yes. There's some Christian women say, oh, that's so nasty. You're nasty. Leave me alone. Don't touch me. I'm reminded of a woman down in Florida. She says she's going to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. She locked herself up in the room. Her husband was beating on the door. You need to come on out of there, sister. All work and no play make Jane a very boring girl. Come on out of there now, or I'll break this door down. You got to pray and play. See, this is what's wrong with so many Christian families today. You're all uptight. when God does not want you to be uptight. He wants you to enjoy the blessings that he and the benefits and the pleasures that he has provided for you. And I know I have some dear Christian friends, you're so uptight. When you go out on date night and you have heard that drinking a glass of wine is a sin, and that's nowhere in the Bible, nowhere in the Old Testament, nowhere in the New Testament. Overdoing it, yes, just like overeating. Abusing it. But one of the best things that you and your wife can do is have a nice dinner and one glass of wine with your dinner and enjoy it. And enjoy the sex that comes after that. There's nothing wrong with it. Some of you go, That's nasty. Why are you talking about that stuff in church? Well, that's how y'all got here, by the way. All y'all got here through sex. So I don't know how you think you got here, but that's how you got here. Okay? Some kind of sex had to go on. I know they're doing all kind of test tube stuff and all that. That's ungodly and wicked as hell. Most people got here from a man getting together with a woman. That's one of the reasons why we all know homosexuality and lesbianism is wrong. You can't bring any babies out of that. You can't replenish the earth doing that. The world's going to end very fast if everybody turned that way. Very quickly. Why? Because everybody's going to die. See, look at you. Some of y'all mad, looking like you swallowed a curtain rod. You need to chill out. That's why y'all having heart attacks. People are quitting the ministry. You know why? They're so uptight. They don't enjoy life. They don't go for walks. They don't have sex together with their spouse anymore. So they're constantly fighting a battle over here, looking at fine women. Or some man that she thinks would make her happier. And we got that mess going on in churches across this country. We got preachers having sex with multiple women in the church because their wife won't have sex with them, or they don't want their wife anymore. All kinds of mess is going on. Women are slipping out as well in the church. Yes, in evangelical churches. Yes, in Bible-believing Baptist churches. Yes, in independent, fundamental Bible-believing Baptist churches all across this country. It has happened for years. We got Christian pastors and pastors' wives who are uptight. But at home, they pass as ships in the night. They don't touch each other. Don't touch me. Don't bother me. And the poor man gets so beat down by the mighty woman that he's afraid to say anything to her. Afraid to start something. Because somehow they think in their mind having sex is nasty, is wrong. Having a glass of wine is wrong. Eating a good meal, eating some prime rib every now and then, not every day. Your body couldn't even handle it. But on a special occasion, God bless you with these things. That's fatted calf food right there. Prime rib. Melts in your mouth. You need to do that every night. And you don't have to do it on a schedule like the white man told some of y'all. That's not going to work with black women anyway. You can't put them on a schedule, man. I know some of y'all don't like that. You need to start reading those books and read the Bible. Read King Solomon. You don't put no woman on no schedule, man. And that's going to get very tiring and very boring and very uncomfortable real quick. You just doing this because somebody in the book told you to take me out on Tuesday night or Friday night or whatever. We don't even, while you sitting at that nice fancy restaurant, we don't have the money to pay our electricity bill. What are you going to do about that? We both need to go home and stop trying to show out. Anyway, all seemingly ordinary things of life can then become extraordinary as they are consecrated by the word of God in prayer. Pray about that thing. Do you all pray together? Do you read the Bible together? That's right. Listen, ask God to bless the food and the wine. And I'm not talking about you drunkards. Now, you know, you drunkards know who you are. If you get crazy from a drink, you don't need to drink anything. You ought not to have any rubbing alcohol in your house, period. You people who got to get drunk and talking out of your mind and becoming violent, we're not talking to you, okay? We're talking to people, normal people who can handle that and enjoy it. And pray and ask God to bless it. And you got some sense. In the light of the Holy Scriptures, a Christian recognizes God's good hand behind the things provided. Did you hear me? See, that's where you need to get to in your mind. God is the one who's blessed us with these blessings. Enjoy them. Just don't sin, man. Enjoy them. Just don't sin. And by the way, I don't care how long you've been married. You know, a little sweet thing out there is not going to make you feel any different at the end of the situation. It's just going to be, in your mind, you think it's going to be different. It's not. So you don't need to do wrong with it. Just enjoy what you have. Love the one you're with. Because love is a choice anyway. It's not going to be any different with somebody else at the end of the day. You only think it will be. So don't get involved with anybody else because it's going to get worse. It's going to be worse. Because after the sin comes the guilt. And if you don't handle that thing right, that guilt can last a long time. A long time. And there's nothing like that sin guilt. In the light of the Holy Scriptures, a Christian recognizes God's good hand behind the things provided and offers thanksgiving to the Lord. Do you praise God for a good meal? Before the meal, during the meal, and after the meal. And some of us love good food so much we got to take a bite first before we pray and thank God. You know that's not right, but we do it. In this way, the ordinary things so easily taken for granted become sanctified as occasions for worship and praise. And ladies and gentlemen, God has created many things on earth for our good and for our pleasure. I'm not going to talk with you about all three tonight, but here are three things we should take note of from this passage concerning the things that God has made available for our benefit, for our pleasure, and for our blessing. And you need to enjoy these things. Some of you are going to die and go to your grave not enjoying the life that God gave you. I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for you. You're uptight. You're mad. You're angry. You're sad. Both of you sitting in the bed talking to other people on the phone. And it becomes a contest. How many friends you have over how many friends I have, and so on and so on. And y'all not, and they with their spouse doing the do, and you ain't doing nothing. You all uptight when you need to, and excuse the expression, but some Christians need to get laid. Men and women, I know you don't like it. I don't care. You need to get laid. Some of your problems would be resolved if you would just get laid. That means you and your wife have sex, whatever it is, and get on with it. Everybody knows I'm telling the truth, because once you do the do, things change. God made it that way. People who are so uptight and mad and angry, they calm down. In the wine, a glass of wine will help you with that as well. Excuse me, my beloved Baptist brethren, I love you, and I will always love you and appreciate you and respect you, and I respect your convictions. But we have to stop lying on the Bible. I said a glass of wine, that's all you need. And I'm not talking about these little sugary, little white color, pink color, red color wine, no. I'm talking about a cab. I'm talking about a wine that is not sweet. It almost tastes bitter. But it's good for you. Especially when you're trying to get your groove on. You don't need any pills. God bless your heart. Some of y'all, I can't believe he's saying it from the pulpit. That's the problem. We're not saying it from the pulpit. Husbands and wives need to get it on up into the years. That's why you looking at some young behind. Look at you. You lying hypocrites. That's why you're always trying to be cute with somebody else. Starting mess. Messing with somebody else's husband. Messing with somebody else's wife. Keeping mess up in the church. One pastor had, it was just, this is recent news. One pastor had about five or six women. And then he fooled around and messed with a vixen. And she took him out. Some of you men, you better be careful who you deal with. There's some women who know how to deal with you. They may look all innocent and sweet, but they know how to get you. And when they get you, you got. And your wife can't even help you. Your wife may turn her head and say, nah, you need to curse God and die, because you done messed up, boy. I can't even get you out of this. So first of all, and last of all tonight, we are to receive it with thanksgiving, all the blessings, all the benefits, all the pleasures, and all of the blessings. Give God thanks. That's right. Give God thanks. Sometimes, down through the years, I would thank God for the benefits I wouldn't use pleasure in case any of my children could catch on to what I was saying. But after good sex with my wife, I would gather around the table and say, Lord, thank you for the benefits of life. They didn't know what I was talking about. I knew what I was talking about. And God knew. My wife knew. I thank God for the benefits. That's right. Oh, look at you. Some of y'all are mad because I'm talking about sex from the pulpit. That's the problem. That's why we got a sex-crazed church and nobody is doing anything about it. Nobody's preaching on it and telling people how to do it the biblical way and enjoy it and be happy. I guarantee you, listen to me very carefully, some of you people are having serious problems in your marriage. Sex can solve about 60 to 70% of those problems because they'll go away for a few days. It's not just about the sex and the release and the relief and all of that. It's about the touching. It's about the touching, the feeling, the emotions and all involved. And, you know, it may not be all perfect and wonderful and may not be lovey-dovey, candlelit, whatever, but you're getting it done and you're feeling something. That's for those of you who've been married for 15 years. And things are not like how they used to be. It may not be 100% like it used to be. But 50% will do. 60% will do. It gets you through. Instead of going down to the hotel and adding all that hell and stress on your life with somebody who you don't know what they got, where they been. Are you kidding me? Like one man said the other night, messing with somebody's sloppy seconds. Are you kidding me? Listen to me, people. I'm trying to help you. And let me just help some of you men and women out. You think somebody is so cute sitting up in the church or on the job. Let me help you. My dear friend, you really don't want to get involved with somebody else's spouse. Because ain't no telling what they have done. Inside of marriage, I hate to tell you that. Now, you don't listen. I marry her. Her husband's left and everything. Yeah, I'll take over. Some of you men are sick in the head. You don't know what you're getting into. You listen to me very carefully. Some of you women are going to be mad. But I'm going to tell you the truth. You really don't need to be bothering with nobody else's wife, whether they're together or not. Because, especially if they have children, and as long as they have children, that man's going to be there in somewhere involved in the lives of that family. And I don't care how wonderful you think you are and how quick and fast you can talk. That man is not going to be happy about that. You don't listen to me. One man said it doesn't. He's a preacher. Said, I don't want anybody's sloppy seconds. I know some of y'all are mad about that. He should. You're saying right now, he shouldn't have said it. You shouldn't have said it. I hate that. But that ought to be the same for you women. You don't want anybody's. You ought not to want anybody's sloppy seconds. You don't know where these people have been and what they've been doing. Yeah, it's cheaper to keep her. Love the one you're with. Enjoy the sex that you can have with your spouse. Thank God for the benefit of the sex inside the marriage. And even if your marriage is not that wonderful and perfect and contrary to what people say, most are not. We thank God for those marriages that you see the old couples holding hands going into Walmart. But you don't know how many years they didn't hold hands, so just chill out on all that. Thank God for that 1%. Enjoy the one you have and do what you got to do with them. Because it'll keep you out of somebody else's bed. It'll keep you from having AIDS. It'll keep you from getting AIDS or getting some things that are worse that never go away. Herpes and all that kind of stuff, man. No. That's one of the benefits of marriage. And in the privacy of your bedroom or in the privacy of your dining room, you drink a little wine, eat your little prime rib. What? Cut on a little music. My son Daniel Zeke can help with the music. But I will tell you this. Put on some Bach or Mozart. But don't put on, you got some women so holy they want to put on Amazing Grace when we're trying to get it on. No, honey, it's not time for me. No, I thank God for Amazing Grace, but it's not time for Amazing Grace. And don't get so carried away. Oh, thank you, Jesus. No. Wow, no. You're going to kill it. You're going to kill it. That's not, no, don't do that. Don't be so holy. Come on with it now. Now, you can say that after everything is over, but not in the midst of the business. Oh. Don't take God's name in vain. And enjoy it. God bless you with it. Enjoy it. Some of you are mad, uptight, angry, bitter. You're jealous of other people. Envious. You think somebody else got it better than you. They don't. They just using what they got. Stop cursing the darkness and light a candle and sit across and be honest. Let me help you. I'm going to close. Let me help you, people. The greatest aphrodisiac is honesty. You hear me and you hear me well. You sit across that table or across that bed and you ask questions. And you talk about things. And be honest, both of you. Be honest. Stop lying. And I assure you, within an hour's time, y'all will be getting it on and it'll be real. And you will enjoy it. And you'll be glad about it. And you'll go around the dinner table with the children and say, thank you, Lord, for the benefits, the pleasures, and the blessings. God bless you all tonight. Let's all stand for a word of prayer. Holy Father God, I praise you, Lord, and I thank you for the benefits, the pleasures, and the blessings. Lord, some people right now under the sound of my voice are so bitter about the past, so angry, so resentful, so hateful towards their spouse, that they can't stand even touching each other, not even looking at each other, much less touching each other. Lord, help them to confess their sins. Help them to repent. Help them to stop committing the sin of not enjoying themselves with the benefits and the pleasures and the blessings that you've given to them, built inside of the marriage. I don't know how you did it. I don't know how you do it. But Lord, I thank you for it. Because if we enjoy the benefits and the pleasures of marriage with the spouse that we married in our youth, not only is it a pleasurable thing and a wonderful thing, but it keeps us out of a whole lot of trouble and a whole lot of sin. It's a beautiful thing. And Lord, I don't think you mind if a husband and wife eat and dine and eat a nice meal, which the home-cooked meals are the best ones anyway, anywhere, and have a glass of wine together with it and enjoy each other and see their hearts get glad, as you stated in the Old Testament. And Lord, I pray that the people who are struggling in their marriage and family life would stop being so uptight, stop feeling that things are dirty or filthy, enjoy the pleasures that you have given to us. I don't understand it all, Lord, how you did all of that and how you do all of that, but I do know it works. And I pray, Lord, for your Christian people who have been uptight for years, legalistic for years, and have not enjoyed the things that you have created and permitted for us to enjoy. I feel so sorry for people who are going to go, who are going to die and go to their grave without enjoying their lives, just enduring their lives. Lord, for the time that they have left, and there are many, help these people to appreciate what you have done for them and to thank you for the benefits, the pleasures, and the blessings of life, and to teach their children how to enjoy life. Yes, pray hard, think hard, work hard, but play hard as well. Lord, to me, life is not worth living if we can't have some kind of fun, some kind of enjoyment. And I believe with all my heart you want us to enjoy our lives after we do what we're supposed to do for you. After we put you first, we worship you, we praise you, we serve others for you. We thank you. We give you glory. I know for a fact that, Lord, if we do it in that order, the benefit time and the pleasure time and the blessing time and the fun time is out of this world. It's just a blessing. And to be able to enjoy that over and over and over again is just a blessing. And I thank you, Lord, for these blessings. Lord, I don't know how you do it, but I believe that in your love and grace to us, I believe somehow that if a couple loves each other with your kind of love, may not be Romeo and Juliet kind, but your kind of love, I believe that you let them be in the room and you shut the door. As long as nobody is hurting anybody or anything like that, Lord, I believe that you give them that. And it is one of the blessings of marriage. And I pray that you'll help people to understand that, that they can serve you and be a witness for you, preach for you, sing for you, and still enjoy this life in that way. Help them to do it. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray. And most of all, I pray that you'll save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved so that they can enjoy the good life as you have blessed me to enjoy in spite of myself for 40 years. I just wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. And I'm just shocked. I'm shocked out of my mind. I'm amazed that I can live this kind of life and still go to heaven too. I thank you for it all. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, dear friend of mine, as always, as my main calling in life is to be an evangelist. If you're with us tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand, however, that you are a sinner, just as I am a sinner, and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God. God is holy and we're not. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Having sex with your wife that you are legally married to is not a sin. Committing adultery with another man's wife or a woman that you're not married to legally is a sin. That's what a sin is. This is, see, so it's, you're doing the same thing, but you're doing it with the wrong person. That is a sin. The wages of sin is death. And if you keep on living that life of wicked pleasure, and yes, it is, as the Bible says, a pleasure for a season, and you don't trust Christ as Savior and repent of your sin, you're going to die and go to hell and pay for your sins yourself. But Jesus Christ paid for all of our sins. That leads me to my third point. Accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell right now as I speak, if you're living in sin. Are you shacked up with a woman or a man that you're not married to? You're not going to hear this from most pastors today. That's why I preach it every day. And you have never trusted Christ as Savior. I'm not talking about going to church. There are millions of sinners who are lost and on their way to hell go to church every Sunday and serve in the church. So you know I'm not talking about church. Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you repented of a life of sin and disobedience and rebelliousness? And Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a very real place. Jesus Christ, the meek and lowly and lovely, loving one, preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Hell is a very real place, and hell is a very serious matter. The Bible also states in Revelation 21:8, here are the people going to hell or the lake of fire. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You will go to hell. You will die and go to hell because of your sin and because you rejected Jesus Christ. You did not trust him as your Savior. So hell is bad news. But I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shall be saved." Just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul. Have the mind to turn from your old life and trust Christ and follow him in the new life. For Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. For whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from a burning hell forever and forever, day and night. People are suffering in the burning hell tonight because they did not trust Christ as Savior and they did not repent of their sins. And so, dear friend, believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, believe in your heart that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. And pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. And if you don't know how to pray the sinner's prayer, that's okay. I didn't either when I got saved 40 years ago. So the person helped me, and I'm willing to help you. Follow me in prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. For I have lied before. I've stolen things before. I have taken your name in vain before. I have dishonored my parents before. I have coveted after and lusted after people and things before. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace, Lord, upon me. And please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid my sin debt, who died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and meant it from your heart, I am glad to declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible that we just heard from, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. If you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day, early one Sunday morning, you are now saved. So welcome to the family of God. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good is my prayer. Now, if you are born again, if you're saved, go out and enjoy the life that God gave you. And serve, as one dear evangelist says, go serve your King.